We are continuing with the teachings of Shri Nisargadatta Maharaj from the book I Am That. Now I'll read from the book. So the questioner says, Sharda Devi, wife of Shri Ramakrishna Paramhansa, used to scold his disciples for too much effort. She compares them to mangoes on the tree which are being plucked before they are ripe. Why, Hari? She used to ask. Wait till you are fully ripe, mellow and sweet. And to this Maharaj replies, he says, how right she was. There are so many who take the dawn for the noon. A momentary experience for full realization and destroy even the little they gain by excess of pride. You see, this is a very common trap which a seeker can fall into. Generally, what happens is that we experience spiritual awakening and we encounter an experience during that awakening, and we get so absorbed in the experience. We want that experience to happen over and over again because we have experienced bliss. We have experienced silence and now we yearn for that. And you know, so he says here, Maharaj says here, that if you hurry, if you make haste, what basically happens is that the pride takes over. That I am special, I had an experience. And that chase for the repeat of experience and that identification with the experience itself stops the process of deliverance. So he associates, he says that there is a difference between the dawn and the noon. And now this is my own interpretation. What I think he means by dawn is the spiritual awakening. It is the beginning. Most people think that spiritual awakening is the end. No, spiritual awakening is the beginning. And after having a spiritual awakening, it so happens that our troubles begin, because the whole notion of life, the structure of life, the ego, the nature of ego, the nature of involvement in the worldly affairs, dealing with relationships, all those problems now begin to manifest after spiritual awakening. The friendships begin to break apart, certain friendships, certain associations fall away. And I have a whole video on that subject. And that is what is the meaning of dawn. That means you have had a glimpse of the reality. But that alone is not sufficient. That alone does not mean anything. What matters most is the deliverance. Now, deliverance is what Ramesh Balsekar called as the embodiment of the truth in daily living. The peace that one experiences in daily living. What that means is that the glimpse of the infinite reality that you've had has to reflect as peace in daily living, and which here I believe Maharaj refers to as the noon, which is the culmination of seeking, end of seeking. So spiritual awakening is one thing, the deliverance of that knowledge, because it is very easy to say that I am not the doer. Yes, intellectually it makes all the sense, I am not the doer. Because the doer is not there in deep sleep, doer is not your continuous experience. Hence, it cannot be the ultimate reality. The person, the way you imagine yourself, I am so and so, my name, my occupation, my religion, my associations, my likes, dislikes, all that is just a cover-up on that reality, on the ultimate reality, which is your true nature. So your true nature is consciousness. And when that knowledge comes to you through an insight, it gives tremendous bliss. But then for it to go deeper into your being, for you to completely embody that message, that takes time. And that happens not through your effort, that happens through the process of life. The life itself presents you with different situations, sometimes challenging situations. Ill health, disease, death, decay, financial setbacks. All these things teach us. The suffering teaches us. And that is how that deliverance takes place. That is how we get to know how resilient we are to the current situation. How deep the message of non-doership has percolated. So, and Maharaj further says, I'll read his words. He says, humility and silence are essential for a sadhaka, however advanced. Only a fully ripened jnani can allow himself complete spontaneity. Now, two things here. First, he says, humility and silence. Now, everything starts with humility. It starts, let me put it this way. If you come across a master, now I'm not a master, I don't consider myself to be a master. But if you come across a master and you go to the master with your own preconceived notions that I know this, I know that. And a lot of people are always in a hurry to say what they want to say. And it so happens, I come across a lot of people, you know, who would just memorize all the verses from the scriptures. And they will recite the verses with pride. But I can see through and through that they do not understand the gravity of those words. They don't understand the deep meaning of what they are saying. They have just memorized it through repetition. So what essentially they are doing is they are just imitating someone. So humility is the first thing. When I used to go to Advaita teachers, I go to them, I never speak a word. I ask them a question if there is a doubt, but I am never in a hurry to express myself, to empty myself to them, because I listen. And when I'm listening, I ensure that that listening is total, that I leave behind all my concepts, all my preconceived notions of what reality should or should not be. Yes, afterwards, it's okay to analyze it. Afterwards, it's perfectly fine to reflect on it. To be doubtful of it is also fine. To question it is also fine. To critically analyze it is okay. But while you are in front of the master and the master is saying something, listen. Listen totally with complete attention. Not with the filtered attention. And this is one of the greatest lessons. Because without this, no spiritual progress, as you imagine it to be, is possible. No peace is possible. Because if you come armed with your own concepts to a teacher, you will get entangled in your own thinking process. Because here Maharaj is trying to destroy your concepts. Maharaj is not teaching you anything new. Maharaj is saying that whatever you know, whatever you think of, whatever comes out of the thinking mind is an illusion. And he says that the reality is consciousness. And very beautifully he says it here. I'll just read these words. He says, before the world was, consciousness was. In consciousness it comes into being. In consciousness it lasts. And into pure consciousness it dissolves. At the root of everything is the feeling, I am. The state of mind, there is a world, is secondary. For to be, I do not need the world. The world needs me. And you see, generally what happens is that we are so blinded by our desires. And those desires are born out of preconceived ideas of what enlightenment should be, what awakening should be. So we are not ready to empty our cup. And that is why Ma Sharda says, what is the hari? Ma Sharda was the wife of Advaita sage Ramakrishna Paramahansa. She says, what is the hurry? Let it take its time. And, you know, I get this question many times where people tell me that I have the intellectual understanding, but when it comes to life, I forget that I am not the doer and I react. And I tell them, what's wrong with that? It's okay, you forgot in the moment. To forget in the moment is okay. It was meant to happen that way. You forgot. You reacted. Perhaps you apologized. Whatever the situation was. But then, you, after that, the ego does not come up and say and beat you. It does not say, why did I react? I am a horrible person. I should not have done this. Because there is an understanding there. And the understanding is with you. It is very simple that you are not the doer. A reaction happened because it was meant to happen. So humility, it begins with humility and then silence. That is the first aspect. The second aspect, he says, only a fully ripe jnani can allow himself complete spontaneity, which simply means be the way you are. Now, don't be the way you imagine yourself to be. That's not what Maharaj is saying. Maharaj is saying acting in complete spontaneity. That means I become so rooted in the moment that all my actions become spontaneous. I do not live identified with the past. I do not let past define my actions. I do not let an imaginary future, which is born out of fear, dictate my present actions. My present actions are spontaneous. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm sleepy, I sleep. When I want to drink water, I drink water. When I want to say something to another person, I say something to another person. When I want to feel like expressing myself, I express myself. When I feel like being silent, I become silent. But all of this is happening in the awareness of the being, which is your true nature. And that is your most natural state. That is the I am. So Maharaj says that if the desires are weak, then self-reflection and contemplation can help dissolve them. But what if my desires are very strong and I cannot get rid of them through thinking? Then Maharaj says, let the desires manifest. गो फॉर इट. नाउ आइदर द डिजायर विल बी फुलफिल्ड और इट वोंट बी फुलफिल्ड. इन बोथ दीज केसेस वॉट यू विल नोटिस इज दैट वेदर डिजायर इज फुलफिल्ड और नॉट फुलफिल्ड देयर विल नॉट बी पीस because it is the very nature of desire. The desire propagates further desire. The desire never ends the craving. And that is why silence is given so much importance in this teaching. Even here in the book it says that even Bhagwan Shri Ramana Maharishi imposed himself 20 years of silence before he began to teach. 20 years of silence before he began to teach. I had my first experience in 2015. Till 2020, I was completely isolated. I did not speak to anybody. I was in complete isolation. Now, I don't recommend that to anybody, but I was not writing articles. I was not making videos. I was not talking about Advaita. I was simply watching my own mind. In no way am I comparing myself to Ramana Maharishi. We are nothing. We are nobody. I am not a sage. I am not a master. But what I am saying here is that what I see is a lot of people who get a glimpse of the experience are in great hurry to teach something. Now, I'm not invalidating their experience. I'm sure that they've had a genuine experience, they have had great insights, and they have some great pointers to offer. But you see, without humility and without experiencing the silence first, you can never be completely embodied with the truth of what you are conveying. So Maharaj says, I will read his words. He says, yes, the inner fruit must ripen. Until then, the discipline, the living in awareness must go on. Gradually, the practice becomes more and more subtle, until it becomes altogether formless. Now when he talks about discipline, he is not talking about a forced discipline where you have to, you know, vigilantly watch yourself, or where you have to force yourself to sit in meditation for hours. That's not what he means. What he's saying is simply watch. Be present with the vertical thought, the single vertical thought, I am. And in that light of witnessing, the truth will reveal itself. And slowly what happens is that the awareness begins to shift from the gross aspect of life, which is the mind, the conditioned perspective, to the subtle aspect of life, which is the stillness, the silence of I am. And the questioner says that even Krishnamurti speaks about living in awareness, and look at Maharaj's response. He says, Krishnamurti always aims directly at the ultimate. Even Maharaj noticed this thing and confirmed it. You see the brilliance of these people, like these sages, like Nisargadatta Maharaj or Krishnamurti, J. Krishnamurti, was that they never objectified the source. Now, we can call it source, we can call it Brahman, or we can keep repeating the mantra, Brahman Satyam Jagat Mithya, but that is not going to help you. If you keep objectifying the truth, what you are creating a desire in your mind. You are objectifying the source. You are reducing something which is infinite. So it is not going to help you because it will be an image in your mind, an objectified image in your mind. And images are always temporary. So whenever anybody approached Maharaj and he said that I had this experience, that experience, Maharaj would say, no, you are not that. You are the one witnessing the experience. Anything that you can see through your, touch through your senses, see through your vision, hear through your ears, taste through your tongue, or even conceptualize using your mind, anything, any image, it is an appearance. The screen of consciousness cannot be objectified. That is why Jiddu Krishnamurti deliberately did not use words such as Atman or Brahman or Chaitanyam or anything like that. Because these masters, they did not want you to objectify the source. Because objectifying the source is futile. Because then it becomes a blind chase in search of enlightenment, in search of something which is nothing other than an image in your mind. That is why Advaita masters say that silence is important, because only in silence you get to see the true reality. Or we can say that the reality gets seen. It is not a personal seeing, it is the impersonal seeing. So I think we'll conclude for now. I'll see you next time.